Welcome to the Gen U Podcast, a podcast about generations from past and present. Each week, we bring you a unique perspective where you can walk a mile in our guest's shoes. Now, here's your host, Justin Quigley and Nick Castro. Hey, everyone. Justin Quigley and Nick Castro with the Gen U Podcast. We're excited to be back here with you today. We've got Tyson Wharton in the house from Sioux Empire Travel.
Absolutely.
And Tyson, you and I go back many, many years.
Yeah. We've
known each other for a while.
Yep.
So you've had an incredible story. I've loved to follow you and what you've done. And now the whole travel thing, we talked about this a little bit. You know, the whole pandemic has certainly put that business at a different level,
yes.
Which we all understand. But anyway, so Tyson Wharton, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I own Sioux Empire Travel. I started it about 3.5 years ago. I was in early childhood education, taking care of families, running childcare centers, and helping families. And my wife was a travel agent, and we enjoyed the profession a whole lot, but we thought, well, we could probably do this a little bit better than some needs in town. And so we started Sioux Empire Travel, a community-focused and based travel agency where we specialize in pretty much everything, but with different people and their specialties. So I kind of modeled it a little bit after realtors. So instead of having kind of an agency where agents are fighting over leads that come in or working in a tighter environment. Under the Sioux Empire Travel umbrella, we hire entrepreneurs with a travel mindset. And then they go and they get their own business. And so they're invested in their clients' travel. It's not just a shop where you go in, you know, buy a vacation and then nobody has your back afterwards. So we like to meet our clients, meet their families, see what you guys are interested in for travel. And then we meet our clients on the go. So either over coffee or drinks or dinners. And we just see what your needs are. We look at your budget. We look at everything you want to do on your vacation. We come up with a customized itinerary for your needs. And some people just might need a drink on a beach, you know.
Yeah. Amen to that. Yep. Yeah.
Especially us. And that's what I love. I love the all-inclusive experience. And so I specialize in those, but then I have other agents under me who specialize in cruising or Disney and Universal or Europe. And then so we all work together and we all grow our businesses together instead of fighting over leads. And yeah, and then we're all growing. And I started this business with my wife, but she is doing something else, but she helps me on the back end for things. But she was kind of my inspiration. You know, she took me on all these trips. I hadn't really traveled a whole lot before her, and we went to Ireland and Mexico and all of these places. And just decided, you know, I could help people in the childcare industry. That was a passion I had, but I can also help people and families have a good experience on vacation. That's a little more fun than the stress of having a staff at a childcare center. And so I specialize in family vacations. I really enjoy that. So meeting the kids and saying, hey, you know, mom and dad said you're going on vacation. What do you want to do? And, you know, kids are like, ice cream.
Right.
Ice cream. That swerves me in all-inclusive territory. But then, you know, I really enjoy just seeing a family have that experience, you know. And for me, me and my wife took our kids on vacation over Thanksgiving in 2018. That was the first time they've been anywhere. And that, I was already doing this business, but that opened my eyes to, man, I can really help families bond and get out of the day-to-day, you know, craziness that's in our house. So that's kind of how we started, and that's the trajectory that we've gone is just up since we've started, with help from local business and community partners, just teaming up with people and saying, hey, you're growing your business, I'm growing my business, let's do it together and have fun.
Sure.
Love it.
So that's why I really like our business community here in Sioux Falls.
I think you're touching on something that's, I think the rest of the world should really pay attention to, especially, you know, we pick on baby boomers a lot, but we pick on your generation too. So. But I think the one thing that we hear a lot of people talking about, especially younger people, is that they do it by community. right? That it's not mine versus yours. There's a lot of, hey, let's lean on each other to build a better community, really, exactly. Is what you're talking about. Where I think for the last 50, 60 years, or even 150 years in this country, it's been, this is mine. I need to prop it up and I need to keep all the profits. Where now, I truly believe it's because of social media, right? Like all these different apps that your generation, my generation even, is very connected, and we talk to each other, and it's like, hey, you're working on this. How does that complement my business? So I love to hear that you guys are building that together and that you have specialized people like for Europe, Australia, whatever it is, Disney World, Disneyland, because that is extremely helpful to me when I travel. It's like, yeah, I want to go to Disney World. It would be awesome to talk to somebody who's been to Disney World and has gotten the family pass or the express pass and stayed at the hotel and can tell you, you know what, just don't get the buffet in the morning. Go down the road and get this. It'll save you $30 and it'll be faster and blah, blah, blah. So that insider knowledge is great. It's really
cool. Yeah, and that's what I thought too. Like I booked cruises and I booked Disney and this and that, but I want to give the client the experience that I would want to get. And so I can plan a Disney trip. I know bits about Disney, but Disney's an animal. If you can get somebody who's been there 10 times and who knows the ins and outs, and that's why I found this woman, Haley, who just had a passion for Disney. She has Disney tattoos, you know, and she just loves the parks, and she wanted to sell travel. And so I'm working with her, trying to show her the ropes of the booking process. Yeah. Well, she already has the knowledge.
Sure.
And then giving the clients who come to Sioux Empire Travel a top-notch Disney experience. It's not just Tyson booking you to Disney and the couple things I know, and I love Star Wars, so you better go over there. No. She knows everything about the park and the easiest way to get there and the cheapest way to eat. And
I mean, you look at the price tag. I took my family, or my wife and I took the family to Hawaii 3 or 4 years ago for Thanksgiving, and we had a great setup. But every time we ate lunch outside of our, you know, we had a 3-bedroom apartment. It was a great setup. But every time we went out to a hotel, went somewhere, we ate lunch, you know, Hawaii is like $100 a meal for four. And we're sitting by the pool at the Grand Wailea or whatever big hotel they got. We're sitting by the pool. My son and daughter both get like a sandwich and a hot dog. My son gets a hot dog. My daughter gets a sandwich. Me and my wife shared a sandwich. We got drinks and they got smoothies or whatever. That was $100 for hot dogs and sandwiches. And if you look at the bill, and my wife was like, what does that cost? I'm like, don't worry.
You don't want to see this.
Yeah. Yeah. So that insider knowledge is, there used to be a book. I forget what it was called. Like a travel book that everyone would go and buy.
They have a lot of them. I mean, I was actually at Barnes & Noble the other day and just thought, why don't we look at some travel books and see? And they have destinations, but then they have the dummy books.
Right.
You know, like Hawaii for Dummies.
Yes.
Looking through that. There was actually some good stuff, but everything, these destinations change so often. So you have to make sure you have the right book, you know, that these resorts aren't closed. So you can do some of your own research. And I have clients who will contact me. I just had one actually today. I was helping her try to find the right place, and they were skittish about leaving the country because of all these new CDC travel restrictions. And so I guided them to Florida, found, you know, a couple resorts that would work for their needs. And then she contacted me and she said, oh, you know what? I have all of these credit card points. So I just went and I booked the resort with my credit card points. I said, some agents would get mad about that. You know, like, oh, I said, well, that's great. You went for the cheapest price you could. You used your points. I said, I can help you book these flights, but you can book these flights on your own if you want. It's totally up to you, whatever you want me to do. And she's like, yeah, that's true. You know, I'll just book the points on my own. So I lost a sale, if you think of it like that. But after that, she's like, you've been so great to work with. If we ever want to leave the country and go to an all-inclusive, trust me, we're contacting you back. And I see that as I served these clients. I might have not got the sale this time, but they will come back because they know that they actually got the service that they needed. And so they'll have fun in Florida, and hopefully they'll come back. So there's some times where I have to let my clients know, hey, this is probably the best deal. I can't help you, but if you want to hire me for my services, you know, if you felt nervous in Florida and you want to pay my service fee, which is just $20 an adult, I never charge for kids. And then I have your back while on vacation. So if anything does go wrong, and I gave her that opportunity, but she said, no, that's okay. We'll use you next time. So I see opportunity, even if there's not a sale there, you know?
Well, and I can attest. I mean, I've obviously used you. My wife and I went to Cancun, and we stayed at the Royalton. What is it? The Royalton Suites Cancun.
And now it's the Chic.
Yes, they changed it. Adult, yes.
Which it should have been when they built it.
You're right. Yeah, and I mean that was, I've kind of deemed myself as like this deal finder. Like I always love to go out. Like my wife says, hey, let's go somewhere. Let's take a vacation here. That like kind of excites me to go out there and try to find the best deal travel wise. But anyway, where I'm going with this is that I've called you. We've messaged, I don't know how many times back and forth. Hey, check this one out. Hey, look at this. My wife, she's really picky on her food. So they had, you know, the food and you said, hey, your experience says I've been to this resort, this franchise of resort, if you want, that's what you want to call it. They've got top notch food that you said, hey, I'm just looking for a steak, right? I want a good steak and potatoes. And he was like, they have the best beef in Cancun. Done. So we booked it, you know, and that's where just that insight, right, from you experiencing the travel, you've been there, you've done that, and just the willingness to help. Hey, if there's anything during the whole travel, you brought over the packet, we sat down, you went through things. Here's your itinerary. I mean, it was so in depth. And I thought, wow, like if I ever book a trip to another, you know, out of the country, I'm absolutely going to call Tyson. And anybody else that I know that's going to do it needs to call Tyson too. You know, I know we tried working on something in Florida too, and there was just, I don't know, there's what, 20, 25 of us or whatever. And there was obviously some issues there and whatever, but it is what it is, right? I mean, at the end of the day, it's incredible. So that's, I just love to hear that story. And I think your approach to travel and helping people, you're not there to take a quick profit, right? You're not looking to make a quick buck. It's that relationship you're establishing that you genuinely want to help somebody have an incredible experience. Because let's face it, most vacations, they're not cheap, right? Exactly. You know, Nick has shared several times, I've never been to Hawaii. I want to go in the worst way. But for me to take my family, there's six, you know, six including myself, that's a $10,000 trip.
At least.
Yeah. I mean, the flights alone are going to be $6,000 or $7,000. Right. Yeah. So, I mean, and I don't want to go to a destination like that and just hopefully have a good time. You know, that's what's scary. And yeah. So I don't, you know, if you're going to a destination like that, spending that kind of money, if you're not using somebody that has a network, whether they've been there or not, or they can say, hey, this is who I would recommend. This is why this, you know, there's so much to be said about
that. Right. Well, and for example, like you went to the Royalton Chic, and if you told me today, hey, I want to go to that same resort next week, I'd say I wouldn't go, because since they've reopened, I've seen nothing but bad customer service, bad food, all of these. After, you know, coronavirus, things have changed at resorts a little bit, and Royalton's quality just, and that's across the board. I've talked to places, people who have visited their Punta Cana location and these. And so I have to even tell my clients who are booked at Royalton, hey, the quality is not there anymore. You know, we might want to switch.
Interesting.
And so those are the things that change. I mean, we didn't see coronavirus coming, but that has affected, you know, a resort you went to a year ago is not the same. For sure.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And that's just it. You can go to, what's it, Travel, is it Travelocity? What's the website that's got all the TripAdvisor? Mm-hmm. I mean, you can look at reviews all day long, right? And I look at a review as subjective. I mean, it depends on the individual. My wife's review on food is going to be different than somebody else's, you know, and just, but it does. It helps, it gives you a general idea. And so, yeah, I think that's good to, because I know you sent me there several times. Hey, look at code there. Check, look what people are saying about it. But yeah, going in with the mindset of, okay, I know there's going to be some people that say, this is the worst place, I'd never come back. And then some people say, I would never travel any place else on this planet. I'd come here every time, you know? So, but anyway, yeah, I think there's something there as far as an advocate that is a good avenue for information.
Well, and then places like that, bookit.com. I was talking to a networking group at Severance one day, And I was telling them the story about how Bookit.com, they stranded people over in Mexico and the Caribbean right when coronavirus hit. I mean, some bills weren't paid. You know, they went under, all of this stuff. And I was telling a networking group that, and the bartender at Severance, she's like, hey, can I talk to you? I overheard what you were saying, and I'm one of those people who lost all the money to book it. I said, what? She said, yeah, I was scheduled to go to Breathless. I think it was April. And we never got our money back. She was involved in the class action lawsuit against them and all that. I gave her my card. I said,
now you know heard my old spiel.
Yep. Now so some of those online places, I mean, I don't trust to buy a shirt to fit me right off of Amazon.
Correct.
Let alone pay 10 grand on a vacation and say, oh, everything's going to be fine.
Exactly.
You know, so that's.
So you brought up COVID a couple times and. Yeah. So put you on the hot seat a little bit. Like, okay, so what's the state of travel today, and what do you think the future is for hotels, airlines, restrictions?
Yeah. So right now, anybody coming into the U.S. has to have a negative COVID test to get on the plane. And so my mom and her friends were just in Mexico. They went through this whole thing for me. They were my guinea pigs.
I love it.
And they didn't have a problem. So there's certain things that you need to know, like. If you've had COVID within 3 months of your departure date, you can get a doctor's note and not get the test. But the doctor's note has to say that this individual is cleared for travel. Those three words have to be on that.
Because otherwise, you may test positive just because it's in your system. You still have antibodies.
Yep. Okay. And then I'm only selling all-inclusive resorts that give you the free testing on property. And that will quarantine you on property for either no cost or little cost, depending on who's staying with you. And those are the only resorts I'll sell.
Well, and you said they don't charge for, if you have to be there for 14 days, they don't charge.
Yes. So let's say you're staying at a Secrets resort.
You want to get COVID then.
Yeah. And you test positive, because that was the big concern, is nobody's going to go to Mexico, because if you test positive, you're going to be quarantined in some place you don't know about. So the resort said, no, we'll keep you on property in a room. You can't leave the room. You know, food's included. Alcohol's not included. So there's little things that they do. But then the resort will take care of you while you're there being quarantined, and then you can get the okay, take another test, and fly back. Yeah, so those are the only ones that I'll sell. But I would say, you know, I have 9 or 10 people leaving the country in February. I would say about half of them have canceled and half are going
because of these new restrictions.
Because people are just, well, especially with kids. I had a family going to Hard Rock. They're like, well, what if no kids show symptoms? What if one of the kids tests positive, our whole family's stuck, and then that kid's free, but the other three maybe have to pay $120 bucks a night.
Yeah, that could be a little scary.
It's things like that you have to think about the dangers. And so there's some people who are working from home that they're like, I don't care. I can work, you know, from the hotel room. That's not a big deal. Or there's people that have had COVID that are like, we don't care. We've already had it. That's not a huge deal. So it really depends. And then I had a lot of people move to Florida. I mean, Florida is going to be the jam for the next 2 to 3 months. Yeah. I mean, they're already selling out for hotel rooms.
Really?
Which then you think, okay, well, if all travelers wanting a beach are going to Florida, that might be a COVID nightmare.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
and Mexico was amazing. I went to Cancun in August.
Yeah, we saw the pictures.
I went to Punta Cana in September, and then I went to Cabo in December. And the resorts there take it more seriously than anywhere I visited.
So I don't know where we went wrong, but when we do market research, Justin and I, it's right here in this office on these stupid computers. Your market research is in Mexico,
That's right. Yeah. Well, you have to, I mean, you have to experience what your clients are going to go through, or they're not going to feel safe booking with you, you know? Sure. And so, and that's why I was so glad my mom didn't want to cancel her trip. She already has vaccinated. So, and they don't have an exemption for vaccinations, which is ridiculous, but you still have to take the test. But they went through the whole process and they didn't really have a problem at all coming back. So everything worked really well. But I worked with them. I said, okay, here's what you need. Then you need to make your appointment 3 days before you take off and then meet with your concierge and things like that. But they felt very secure the whole way. And I felt the resorts are better now than they've ever been because there's nobody
there. I was going to say, is it because they're cleaner or they're
I went into Hard Rock Cancun one time on a fam trip and it was sold out. This resort was sold out and it was wall to wall people and crazy chaos and kids running around and all of that stuff. And
not then, vacation.
And now, yeah, you go and it's, you get amazing customer service and everyone is respecting people's boundaries and nobody's getting too crazy. Well, Cabo people are getting crazy, locked up in quarantine.
Sure. And you go to Cabo to get a little crazy. Yeah.
There was a guy who got too crazy, made some mistakes. You know, alcohol's flowing and you
are liquid courage a little bit.
And we had to watch some lifeguards, they were security guards, but dressed as lifeguards, haul this guy out of a pool and physically sedate him because he was, I mean, this guy was a big dude and he was fighting off four, five staff members. Mm. So they had to sedate him and get him out of there. I think people are just kind of cooped up and they want a vacation, but you got to remember, you got to still be safe.
Yeah. Right.
Area. So what's the future? I mean, what's the future of travel?
That depends on our government.
Yeah. I mean, just ours. I mean, but we got governments all over there.
That's true. I mean, and that's, I think vaccination is the only obviously way to go. You still can't like French or they just banned travel to Polynesia.
Right.
I think that was yesterday. And so everything is changing little by little. And I've had instances where like I had a woman call me from Spain or she's a resident here, but also she's a resident of Spain. So she can go back and forth, but it's impossible to find flights to try to get her where she wanted to go. So there's a lot of little things, but I'm hoping there's been talk of testing on domestic flights. And ASTA, who is like kind of the lobbying firm for travel, and they go to bat for us if the government ever decides to do anything that they don't agree with. And they don't agree with these testing. So they're going up and saying, hey, you don't need this rigorous testing. They're also fighting Canada. Suspended all flights to Mexico and the Caribbean last week. And so I've talked to some travel agents in Mexico that they're like, that's our last nail in our coffin. I mean, we were only sending people to Mexico and the Caribbean. We were doing it safely. We were doing it effectively. And now we can't at all. We can't send anybody anywhere. And I'm really hoping that doesn't happen. There's always rumors that they want that to happen. But I talked to some travel experts. I was just on Travel Pulse podcast yesterday, actually talking to a guy that I know really well. It runs that, and
we've got a podcast superstar.
My first. This is my second.
Well, I love it.
But he's really thinking that the next 3 months everything will be just kind of fine. We'll do this testing thing. Nothing else is coming down the pike, and hopefully things will be back to normal once the vaccinations start get rolling out. But
so is there like tremendous value anywhere? I mean, like if whoever's listening is like, hey, maybe I need to call that, like where's the value? Like where does,
if you don't have a problem with the testing and you don't have a problem with like being quarantined, here's the thing with the testing that kind of bothers me. And I always look out for my safety versus making a sale. You know, it's all about serving. The guy from Travel Pulse was supposed to go to Sandals and do a live podcast and show how great it was there, right? And he lives in Atlanta. You have to go to Jamaica. You have to get a COVID test to get into the country. His test came back positive. He had no symptoms, so he had to cancel his whole trip. His whole family got tested. They were negative. He went back. He said, my family's negative. I don't have any symptoms. They retested him. It came back inconclusive.
Oh,
then he did another couple of days, came back. He didn't have it. And they have no explanation about that.
Sure.
So that tells me if that can happen in the United States, why can't it happen in Mexico?
Right.
Why can't it happen? And so I'm telling my clients who are going, can you risk being there if there's a quarantine?
Yeah.
You know? And that's kind of the scary thing is that's where the uncertainty lies.
Correct. So if you're one of the lucky ones to run your own business, work from home, work remote, you could risk the 14 days and some, where's the biggest value?
Yeah. Mexico and the Caribbean are still, the prices are awesome. Very good. And the flight pricing is awesome. So you get a package. Right. I mean, it's definitely a couple, well, I don't know. It's a couple thousand than what you would have paid a year and a half ago.
Less? Know,
whatever.
Yeah, really? Less. Wow. Yeah. Really?
I'm finding really good deals for people who want to go to like the Cancun area, or even Punta Cana has some really good pricing.
And it's so great down there.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I love Punta Cana.
I do too. Oh, it's the amazing. Hyatt, Zilara, and Ziva there, number one resort in Punta Cana. I can't advertise those resorts enough. They were the best. The best on everything across.
Are those kid friendly locations? Or?
Yeah. So Ziva is the kid side and Zilara is the adult side, but it's two resorts kind of next to each other. They had a full water park.
So I can get my kids the pass to the water park for the afternoon and walk over to the adult side.
Well, and they have a kids club and a teens club, and they had food trucks right next to all the water side. So you could just go over, grab some hot dogs, tacos, burgers, whatever you want. The food was outstanding. The service, they always have service from the heart. So they actually cover every service member there that works, covers their heart and like kind of does a little bow to you.
I love
to show that we're here for you. They just go above and beyond on everything they do.
That's great. Stars.
Yeah. Perfect, perfect resorts.
That's great. Well, so one thing I wanted to bring up, and this is, I think it's been probably 4 or 5 years ago when we officed in tea. I do remember every once in a while I'd see you pull up into the Sunshine parking lot at the time. And I'm like, God, you know what? I'm obviously a little bit of a prankster. So I'm like, how can I mess with Tyson here a little bit? So I remember, I'm like, oh, he's a huge WWE fan. I'm going to do something. So I printed off. Stone Cold Steve Austin. I typed in there. Said something like, Tyson, do you know what the, or what name it was? I forget what it said. I took a picture of it. I still have it somewhere in my phone. But what do you remember what, like when you walked out, I think I videoed it too.
Yeah, I walked out and I was on my car and I'm like, somebody knows I like wrestling. There's literally nobody around. I'm like looking. I'm like, did somebody run over from T-Tots and put something on my car? Why would they do that? You know, I had absolutely no idea.
And hopefully after, you know, the whole production, post-production stuff, maybe I can find that video. Maybe I'll put it in here.
Yes.
It was comical. And I think I had one other employee at that time, and I'm just dying laughing. I'm sitting here in my window watching Tyson, you know, and I was like a little kid, you know, just the dumbest little prank ever. But man, it was funny because I even taped it to the window of the vehicle. So. No, that was that's something else.
Yeah, I was like, okay, so they brought tape and then they taped.
This is elaborate.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny. Oh, it's so great. And I think I can't remember if I posted on Facebook. I think I sent it to you or something. I forget, but that was pretty comical. So, question for you then: when we start to think about you obviously went from the child care. I'll call it an industry, right? I mean, because that's technically what it is.
Yep.
Child care industry to starting and running your own business. What are some of the biggest hurdles that you've experienced during that transition?
Oh, everything. Everything was a hurdle. I mean, like I went in, I'm not the type of guy to just jump in. I really am not. Like I need everything planned out and it has to be perfect. You know, that's one of my downfalls, I would say. You know, I don't start unless it's perfect. And my wife was like, you just got to do it. You're not going to learn unless you do it. And so I got my first lead. And I remember I just had a little table that I bought in the basement. It was just me and a little table. And I'm trying to do my first two bookings were cruises. Simple to do, but I wanted everything to be perfect. And so I just jumped in. Stacy helped me and they had the most amazing experience on these ships. There was Alaska cruises. And I just felt like, okay, I can do this. I just need a structure in place, you know? And so little by little, I started getting my structure in place I took some business classes in college, but like my degree was in criminal justice, but I always wanted to own my own business. And so I just started doing my own research without knowing how to ask for help from anybody. Like you guys, and especially you, have helped me, you know, with the John Maxwell class and like things like that. I would have killed for that when I first started. And so like I what do? You go to Google. What's the first thing you do? Sure. You're supposed to go to the SBA, you know? So I go to the SBA, and then they're kind of looking at me like, yeah, you want to do this? What's the value in travel? Don't we all buy Expedia? You know, la, la, la. And so I kind of got that, and so I said, I don't help. So I'll go kind of figure out what I want to do. And then I came up with the logo. You know, you use the crap you can find for free on the internet at first. Right. I came out with that and trying to do things. And then as time went by, I just found things that weren't working and replaced them that with things that were kind of like a Jenga block. Yeah. You know, you play, take them out, put them in. Sure. And then what really helped me was a friend of mine, Destiny Marshall, she got me started in networking. I never networked in childcare. You don't. You go in, you run the center, you make sure kids are happy and safe and not lighting the place on fire. And so I just got out there and started joining networking groups and meeting people and didn't realize, hey, I don't have to have a, you know, $5,000 marketing budget because I don't have $5,000. I to this day, I haven't taken a loan out for my business. I've done everything on my back, you know, just trying to do it for the best way possible, you know. I have a host agency out of Minneapolis, Travel Quest, and they were my support, you know, for anything I needed travel wise. But for business, I really needed to, okay, who can I work with in town so I can get my name out there and help each other. And I realized real fast, people don't want to help you because they just want to help themselves.
Sure.
And that's when I kind of came up with my concept, like, okay, well, why don't I just start working with businesses who want to work with me and let's all help each other together, because that's what my networking group was doing. And then that's the concept I got for actually adding agents, because I wasn't going to add agents. It was just going to be me helping people travel, but saw the need for maybe travel agents to have more fire under their belly, you know, instead of getting paid from some agency an hourly amount and not caring about these people, just hire some entrepreneurs that have the same mindset as you and see what you can do with that. And so that's really where I started about a year ago. I hired my first agent, and the training's the hardest part, you know, sitting down with somebody and training them. But growing together, everyone has that ability. And so that's kind of where we are right now.
Absolutely.
And the training's hard because a lot of what we all do every day is between our ears, right? Yeah. I mean, lot of it, that's the biggest
difference. It's in your head, but you can't, especially if you're not in person, and coronavirus has made some of that impossible. And so if I'm trying to help an agent who already has a full-time job, but she wants to become a full-time travel agent, to kind of help her on her schedule while getting all my stuff done is really, really hard. But I know that the benefit is she'll be able to quit her full-time job and really do this. And so just trying to help out other people and serve the community. I kind of got into it with this guy that was at a travel show. He was trying to teach advisors how to sell. And it was all about sales, and you know that.
I think you told us about this.
Big sales pitch, yeah. And I said, it's not about sales; it's about serving. Like if you're just getting that, I just want sales, and you're not thinking about are these people really getting the best experience of their time? They're not coming back to you, right. You know. And so I said to him, I said, what about serving your community instead of selling to your community? And he just blew me off.
Yes, nonsense.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, no, that's the way I'm gonna go. Yeah. You know, and so it is about just helping people have that experience, and not about making oogles of dollars.
Sure. You know. Yeah. We talk about that. It's not just saying, hey, I want to get rich, right? That's the whole thing that, you know, I just want to get rich. I mean, I remember growing up as a kid thinking, you know, watching some of these TV shows and people that are rich, right? I'm using air quotes.
MTV Cribs.
Yeah, right. Oh, I want to be rich. Yeah. And really, it's more like wealth, right? It's more you create and build wealth. The money's going to come, right? But think of the experience, that journey that Nick and I, we talk about a lot, is that what does that journey look like for people? And how do you go about doing it? There's a a trillion ways to get to be successful and wealthy and build wealth, but you know, your means of doing it and going about it that way and building that lifestyle for your kids and your just your family and you know, and giving back right at that point. And so one thing that you brought up that's really it's really interesting. You've obviously been into several of our courses that we've worked through over the last couple of years. And you know, there's one thing that Nick and I know for sure that personal growth is there's a whole list of things, but it's scary. Some people say, I don't need it. Look at me. I'm healthy. I'm in shape. I've got a good job. Why do I need to improve myself? I'm where I'm at. And then there's some people that fear it, right? They have the fear of growth and what comes along with it and failing and whatnot. So I guess my question to you, or I guess our question to you would be when you first had that, you know, that aha moment of personal growth, when was it and what did it do to you?
Oh man. I mean, I've had a lot of them. I feel like I have them all the time, especially through COVID. There seems to be like one a week.
Yeah, sure.
But because you overcome so much. But I think my first aha moment was, at least in travel, was when I got a thank you card from these two clients. They were wonderful. I sent them on. They had, I think, three kids. Never had a honeymoon. Never really went anywhere together since they've been married, nothing. And I just sent them to this resort that I really love, the El Dorado Real, and made sure that they had the honeymoon they deserved. And she sent me this card with, like, I still have it. It's on my travel shelf of just the nicest things. And that was my, like, oh, I'm really helping these people. Like, yeah, I'm giving them a great time, but I'm helping them. And then throughout that, I think the networking thing was an aha moment. Like, oh, I have to get out there and show my face. I have to be active and meet people. Sure. And then about one of my big aha moments was in your guys' class here at Zeal, where it was that circle chart and your leadership. And I had realized I had...
Oh, the leadership compass.
The leadership compass.
Yep.
And I had realized that the leadership starts with me, which I knew that, and I had done a lot of leadership stuff back in the day, but I had a staff of 35 people at TTOTS. I was in leadership all the time, putting out fires, doing this.
Which is leadership, just putting out fires.
Yeah. And then when you work for yourself at home, you lose sight of that. Like leadership within yourself. Yes. And then COVID... It really put us all through something. We're all still going through it. Our mental health isn't the best, probably, or wasn't where. I mean, you think of where you were a year ago to this day.
Absolutely.
And you're like, oh, it's changed a lot. But that aha moment was, I've been kind of shitty since this whole thing started. And not to my clients. I got the money back from my clients who had to cancel their trips. I booked them. I did all that. But to myself, and which affected my family. And like, I was just kind of in a rut and a pit. And every day is different. You can climb out of that pit, and then a week later, you're back into it, and you don't know.
Absolutely.
And so now, since that class, I actually realized, okay, I woke up this morning, I didn't know what anxiety was until my wife. And I don't mean that in her way. Sure. I mean, she taught me about the word anxiety. I didn't know what it was, you know.
Sure.
And so some mornings I wake up and I feel it. You got that anxiety, like a deep pit right here. And then you have like 10 things going on in your head and I realize it's all work related. And then I'm like, okay, today's going to be a day. You know, I already know, like, and I haven't found a way to pull myself out of it. You know, it seems like it takes a day or two to kind of get out of it. But that noticing it is
awareness,
the awareness that, where is your mind? How are you treating the people around you? And are you really getting the work done you can because of your mental,
sure,
you know, whatever.
The cloud is just sitting over you pouring rain.
Yeah. And I never got those references until you go through it.
Yeah,
for
sure.
You know what I mean? And so I'm really trying to work on, like, my wife goes to the gym. I'm not ever going to go to the gym. gym. You'll never see me at a gym. Sure. I'll never be at a gym. But she's like, you need to find a way to release some of this. And video games and killing things is the, my, I realized I need an hour to sit down and just maybe like shoot some things.
Yeah. You know?
What's the game?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. What is it?
Well, right now I'm playing Fallout 4. Okay. So I'm doing a lot of that stuff. But and some it. Call of Duty.
Okay, it clears your mind.
It clears your mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I've
learned. Nothing like, you know, guys blowing each other up. Just yeah, clear your
exactly.
mind.
Well, and there's puzzles and stuff. You know, I'll play like Candy Crush or whatever to work my mind a little bit. Sure. But I just, if you don't realize you're there, I've met people, I know. I'm like, you're there, but you don't realize it. And sometimes it's not my place. I can't.
Sure. Well, and if you do say something to them, the response that they bring back to you, well, there's several of them, obviously. Some of them, they say, well, I want to hurt you. I want to harm you. Don't tell me that I'm in that space. I'm not right. There. That's a denial, right? And not accepting it. I mean, we hear it's we hear it a lot. We hear it a lot where people are just, they're in that space and they don't have a way of getting themselves out of it. It's to the point where it's almost, it has held millions of people back from doing incredible things in their life. And when we hear these stories on a regular basis, it takes that, there's that moment that you have to have the awareness. We talk about awareness a lot, and getting to that point is hard.
Yeah,
it's so difficult.
Really hard to be aware and like see yourself outside of yourself. You know,
yeah,
just see how you're acting.
And, yes,
and what you're doing. And I'll find myself a couple times just sitting at my desk, being like, "What do I do? Like? I know what to do, but my body won't do it.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, I got to call Delta and I'm going to be on hold for 3 hours. I got to do it. You know, it's those things. And it wouldn't have been a problem a year ago.
Sure.
That's how I feel about taxes.
You know? Oh,
yeah.
Oh, right. This year.
Yeah.
Especially.
Right. Exactly.
So, okay. So I think we're running out of time, but I got one last question for you. So as far as travel goes, this state of things, is there a light at the end of the tunnel for you, or is that another train coming?
Yeah, I think so. I think the vaccine is huge, and that will get us started. I know it just, I didn't think that this would be a year, you know, and now it's a year. And so it's almost like, and people ask you that, and it's like, well, I didn't think Canada would shut down their airplanes. I didn't think this would be going on a year. I didn't think you'd have to get tested in Mexico. I didn't think. And so I kind of stopped making assumptions and just say, whatever happens is going to happen. And I can't control. I've learned I can't control
sure.
anything. And I just have to be there ready for my client. So right now I have all my February and March trips laid out. I've talked to all my clients and I'm fully prepared for the government today to sign an executive order, no planes to Mexico or the Caribbean. And if that happens, I have a plan in place for these. And that's really all I can do. But I think by the summer, I think hopefully everything should be you should feel safe to go travel as long as everything's open.
Yeah, man, I could tell you, I mean, for the platform that you're building and the way you're going about it, that is going to win out. And I have every confidence in the world that as soon as we're allowed to, or as soon as people start to feel more comfortable, people are going to travel. I mean, I think at some point when this thing flips, the travel industry is going to explode. I mean,
it's
just
mental,
right?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And if you look, if you look at the data, there's a lot of people with cash in the bank because they're just not doing a lot of things. You know, South Dakota, we're a little different. But if you're talking like people in California, New York, Texas, Colorado, even Arizona, they've been locked in their houses for months, for just about a dang year. And I was talking to my dad yesterday. He's in California. He said the same thing. He's like, we're not stopping for a beer or for a burger or for a lunch. We're not. So I think people have some disposable income that I think once they're ready to travel, let's go. Give me a beach. Give me a beer.
Yeah, absolutely.
And one thing I didn't even talk about, but like, the people who work at these resorts, that's the real heartbreak story. I mean, they're already, that's such a hard job to get, and they love their jobs and they love serving and helping people. And I talked to some of them that you make friends with on Facebook, and even they're tired of it. They just want to serve you a drink. They want to get back to work. Everybody wants to.
Right.
And so I think there is a more of an awareness about tourist dollars and how much they mean, especially even in our town. Like, I go to the Experience Sioux Falls meetings, and it just kills me that nobody's visiting Sioux Falls and doing these things. And
I still have a lot of friends in Hawaii, and that, I mean, every week I talk to them, it's just, I don't know how they can get any worse. You know, every week they're like, another one's gone, another one's gone. And these people aren't coming back. Like, there's a lot of mom and pop that just aren't coming back. And so the whole landscape, like Waikiki will be a different animal. Most of Hawaii, from what I hear from my friends who live there, like, it's, we're in deep trouble, like deep trouble. So I think things like Hawaii are going to come back. And certainly Mexico and the Caribbean, all those things will be forever popular, but yeah, I have no doubts it'll come back.
I do too.
Weather the storm. And yeah, I think what you're doing is great. It's beautiful. And I think that community sort of, you know, let's do this together and lean on each other. That is really the wave of the future for business. You know, we see it everywhere. So absolutely. I think you're ahead of the curve there.
So Tyson, let everybody know that is listening to this, how do they get a hold of you? What's sure. the best way?
Well, you can, my website's under construction, but it's almost done. I have an awesome local person doing it. So that's SiouxEmpireTravel.com. And then I'm on Facebook and Instagram. Are the two social media
platforms. And they can just look on Instagram or Facebook and just type in
Sioux Empire Travel. Yes, at Sioux Empire Travel for both.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, and if you're doing it on a Sunday morning on Facebook, you'll see this ridiculous spread on your grill outside.
Blackstone.
I do like food.
Yeah, it's like you're serving a family of 30, but you say that only
four. So my wife says, too. Make it too much food.
Yes. Well, if you need help, just give us a call.
Right, exactly. We're down to eat some of your food because I can't make some of the things that you do because my kids are so picky with what they eat. So it's one of those things. But so yeah, we really appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you.
This is fun. Us here. It's fun. Absolutely. It's been great. And we look forward to having you back on. Maybe talk about how you're so busy with travel that you're fighting to keep your head above water.
Hey, that'd be great. I can't wait for that podcast.
But let's do this in Mexico.
we should do this.
I mean, we can get these microphones on a plane really
easy. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Let us help you. Definitely. So, well, thanks, Tyson. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet.
Look forward to having you on again.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Absolutely.
If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe so you know when our new episodes drop. And don't forget to rate and review our podcast and share it with your friends. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you were able to take away a few things today to help you be intentional with your life. See you again next time.